Household at Sister Brown's, Napier, New Zealand, September 4, 1893. Dear household at Sister Brown's, I think of you all, without an exception. I rejoice in Christ that there is salvation through the merits of Christ and the grace of the Holy Spirit for you. We are washed and justified and sanctified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. What a sad record! He came unto his own, and his own received him not. John 1, verse 10, 11. How long God, the Heavenly Father, bears with the perversity of men who refuse to accept the gift of God to our world of his only begotten Son. How must the unfallen worlds be astonished at the exhibition of such marvelous love of Jehovah in giving to our world all heaven in one gift, for with Christ he gave all the treasure of heaven. Thank God some did receive Jesus, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. Verse 12. I rejoice in God my Savior that the invitation of mercy and grace has been presented to you as a family. Jesus looks upon you as a family church in your home, and let me tell you, dear household, if you will be obedient to Jesus Christ, you will be representatives of his character in the home life. Let your life shine forth to others, and you will not long stand isolated as a family. Others will be added to the little church, of such as shall be saved, and will outgrow the family church if you individually let your light shine forth in clear, bright rays. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. Revelation 3, verse 20. Oh, if the Lord had not made the infinite gift of his only begotten Son, we would have been left in our hopeless, wretched condition without God, and without hope in the world in the midnight of bitter despair. But let us every one appreciate the grand, inestimable gift. I am more thankful than I can express that you have accepted Christ by faith. This means that you have decided to be obedient to the will and purposes of God. Everyone will meet with trials, but our faith and constancy and integrity must be tried. If you look to Jesus, if you believe in him as your personal Savior, you will be brought through every trial, and enduring these trials with patience, you will become stronger to endure the next test, the next trial. You are, as a family, God's family of responsible moral agents. God has given you reason, intellect, kindly sympathies, and affection, and these are talents to be consecrated to God. Every member of the family has been bought by Jesus Christ, and if each puts his or her will on the side of God's will to do his or her duty up to the measure of his or her responsibility, it is all that the Lord requires. Be faithful. Be true to your Redeemer. The Church of Christ is made up of vessels, large and small, and the Lord does not require any unreasonable thing. He does not expect the smaller vessels to hold the contents of the larger. He does not expect impossibilities of anyone. Do your best with your opportunities and privileges granted to you, and God will accept your humble service according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12. There are diversities of gifts. Let each one take up the duties that lie next to him, doing his little. The way is not to overlook the smaller duties and wish to grasp the greater, but do your best in giving to Jesus that service which you can give. You are his servants by grace. The Lord loves everyone. He loves the youngest members of the family. You may love Jesus, children, with your full heart's affections, and he will not repulse you. Jesus loves you, and you may love him and please him by doing his will. Let these younger children come to Jesus for his blessing and be the lambs of his fold. His eyes are upon the youngest. He wants you to have beautiful characters. The true shepherd will guide the lambs of his flock. Jesus will hear your prayers. Give your hearts to Jesus. Offer to him your simple prayers, and he will mingle with these prayers the incense of his own spotless merits, and they will come up as a sweet-smelling savor before God, because they are made fragrant by the purity and loveliness of the character of Jesus Christ. Thank God, my dear friend Alex, that you have decided to give your heart to Jesus. To you, the precious season is allotted of improvement. He has, through human instrumentality, given you a clear intimation of His holy will. The course of your duty is made plain and imperative. I tell you, dear youth, the satanic powers will present a variety of temptations. He will leave no means untried to bewitch the youth to walk in His way and follow His leading. But Alex, Jesus has purchased you with the price of His own most precious blood. Love Jesus. Look to Jesus. Serve Jesus. And He will be to you a precious counselor. Gisborne, October 12, 1893. Hear the words of one who spake as never man spake. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. John 13, verse 34, 35. The amazing love of God for our world has been newly set forth in the life and character of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, so loved fallen men, who were His enemies, that He gave His life a ransom to redeem them. Oh, with what tenderness, with what forbearance did the Savior love! Although that love was beaten back by the resistance of the rocky, sin-bound souls, it returned again in stronger waves of light and affection. Of Him the Word declares, "He shall not fail nor be discouraged." Isaiah 42, verse 4. Satan is playing a game of life for your souls. He will use every device in his power to surprise you off your guard, to take you unawares. Words may be spoken and actions may be performed which will not harmonize with the feeling and habits and customs of someone. But if the life of Jesus is in the soul, these little bruises and sensitive feelings will be overcome, and the balm of Gilead be applied. No coldness must chill the hearts of the sons and daughters of God. An abiding Christ in the soul is a showing forth of love in spirit, in words, in deeds, and is as a bright shining light upon the pathway of the Christian. Many waters cannot quench that love evidenced by Christ, neither can floods drown it. No opposition extinguished His affections. He had to bear much with the dullness of comprehension of His disciples, but although often grieved in spirit, He loved them still. Our love will be tested, that its growth may be developed. Love is of heavenly origin. While it suffers long, it is kind. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. John 15, verse 12. Charity, love, envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, endureth all things. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4-7. Dear Sister Bell, you have the most precious privilege of becoming a child of God. You have not found satisfactory this pleasure-seeking life. It is a sad acknowledgement we must make that there are those who profess to be Christians who patronize places of amusement where true Christians never will be found. My very dear sister, I have been so thankful that you have decided to be a child of God. Will you study your Bible? This book contains in itself the evidence of its divine origin. The Bible bears the impress of the divine character. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119, verse 130. Simple in this sense does not mean those who are really deficient in reasoning powers, but it means every soul who feels his ignorance and comes to the Word of God for instruction as to how he can save his soul. The Holy Spirit impresses divine truth on every humble, teachable soul and commends the truth to our conscience and judgment. Thus also it is impossible for us to be kept in uncertainty and questioning doubt as to whether we are indeed children of God. It is your privilege to have a deep and living experience in the Christian life. If you will only follow on to know the Lord, His going forth is prepared as the morning. Hosea 6, verse 3. From the light which the Lord has given me, that which has seemed to you the most trying experience has been for your best good. You and every soul should study most earnestly to have a living connection with the great source of light, and never be inclined to yield to temptation, to venture to choose an uncertain path which leads to darkness and to unbelief, and binds you up in bundles with the unbelieving. We must individually choose whom we will serve. Can you or I doubt the goodness of the Savior, the elevation, holiness, and power of His instruction? He offers eternal life to all who come unto Him. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. John 7, verse 37. Said Christ to the woman of Samaria, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 4, verse 10, 13, 14. This water is for you. Drink it, for it will supply every necessity if Christ abides in the soul. The Word of God commands us that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 4, verse 22, 24. The requirement is, lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12, verse 1, 2. Dear sister in Christ Jesus, in order to have the love of Christ in our hearts, we must cultivate the precious plant. We will long for the dew of heaven, for the bright beams of the sun of righteousness, to soften and subdue the soil of the heart, and watch zealously to pluck up the weeds that would crowd out the precious plant of love and leave it cold, hard, and unlovely. Oh, what an example we have in Jesus! His lips never uttered a harsh word. Unholy temper never spoiled His character. He has invited, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew 11, verse 28, 29. The Lord will recognize every effort we make to draw nigh unto Him. If you make failures and are betrayed into sin, do not feel then you cannot pray, reasoning that you are not good enough to pray, but seek the Lord more earnestly. Pray and consider the words, My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, do not say it is no use for me to try to be right and to be a Christian. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. 1 John 2, verse 1 to 3. Now Jesus loves you, and He wants your love. He would have you remember that He gave His precious life that you should not perish, and He will be unto you a present help in every time of need. Only look to Jesus and tell Him every perplexity and trial. You must learn of Jesus and ask Him to help and strengthen and bless you and believe that He hears your prayers. Jesus invites you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You feel this decidedly at times. Well, come to Jesus when you feel tired and overweary. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew 11, verse 28, 29. Seek to imitate the life and character of Jesus. All heaven is looking upon you with deep interest. One soul for whom Christ has died is worth more than the whole world. I wish every young man and woman could appreciate the value of the human soul. If they would give themselves to Jesus just as they are, though sinful and polluted, He will accept them the very moment that they give themselves to Him, and Jesus will put His Spirit in the humble seeker's heart. Whosoever cometh unto Him, He will in no wise cast out. You may love Jesus with your whole heart, and He will never disappoint that love and confidence. His words are life, comfort, and hope. Satan knows that all you have to do is to look to Jesus, an uplifted Savior. The wounded, bruised, stricken soul will find in Jesus a balm for his wounds. God help you to look and live. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Verses 28, 29. There will be peace, constant peace, flowing into the soul, for the rest is found in perfect submission to Jesus Christ. Obedience to God's will finds the rest. The disciple that treads in the meek and lowly steps of the Redeemer finds rest which the world cannot give, and the world cannot take away. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Constant peace flowing into the soul reveals a living wellspring to refresh other souls. There is a need of cultivating love. We may possess excellent qualifications, but nothing can take the place of love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Dear sister, the Lord loves you. He wants you to be His child, to walk in His footsteps, to do His will. Only have your life hid with Christ in God, that when He who is your life may appear, you may also appear with Him in glory. Alex, you are a young man, kindly disposed, and the Lord Jesus loves you and will bless you and strengthen you. Do not forget to pray. You, dear youth, will have temptations, but we are all tempted. Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. Hebrews 2, verse 16 to 18. Dear Sister Martha, I am, you will see, in Gisborne, pleasantly situated in Sister Bruce's cottage home. We expected to stay 2 weeks, but since we have come, Elder Wilson and wife Emily and I, they insist upon our remaining 5 weeks, giving us just time to get to the Wellington camp meeting. Our remaining depends upon future plans. American mail will be received here Friday. I have spoken only once, the same evening of the day we arrived. I am anxious to hear from you. Please send us a line. How is your health improving? Are you growing in grace? Are the family all well? May the Lord bless you all, mother and children, every one, and Sister Lowndes. Thank her for her good letter. We do not forget you. I was so glad that the camp meeting was to be in Wellington, or near Wellington. You will be able to attend, and many of the family. Love to Victoria and Charlotte and the two younger children. In much love.